Tabernacle Family Church, are we ready to praise God this morning? I'm so excited. Go ahead and stand up. I know it's cold out, but if you come forward and start moving a little bit, I promise you'll warm up. Come on, there's plenty of room at the altar. Thank you for joining us on live stream. Why don't you stand up in your home, start to praise God actively in your home, and get that atmosphere set for God to move.
Awesome. Good morning, everybody. We're glad you're in the building. Look, if you are here in the building, I think you officially get the tag. You're built different. Come on now. That's our theme for the year. You're here. We're so glad you're here. Look, welcome, everybody. My name is Pastor Tim. Me and my beautiful wife, Pastor Noelle, are young adults pastors here. Now, usually we'd have our young adult meeting tonight, but because of the blizzard that's about to hit at about 5 p.m., we thought, maybe not. Let's just stay on the safe side. But the good news is, a week from tomorrow, touch your neighbor, say a week from tomorrow. Somebody's not listening. Do it again. Say, hey, a week from tomorrow. We're doing a worship night here at the church on Monday night, a week from tomorrow. It's going to start at 7. It's going to be an awesome time. It's going to be powerful. We're inviting all young adults out to that. It's going to be sick, so we want to let you know that. But, hey, we want to welcome you. And if you are new, if you are a guest, we want to welcome you after service. We're doing a whole group Sunday. It's going to be awesome. Right after that, we have the Connect Room down this hallway, and we want to get to know you. We want to connect with you. Maybe this is your first time. Maybe this is your 71st time. If you feel like you're not connected, we want to get connected to you. So come on over. We got coffee, snacks. You really can't beat it. Also, a marriage conference. Where are married people at? Wow, you guys are not excited to be. Where are my married people at? There we go. A little more enthusiasm. We have a marriage conference coming up February 4th and 5th. It's $50 per person to register. If you want to register out at the welcome desk, you got to sign up. It's going to be great. It's going to be powerful. Our pastors are going to be leading it. It's going to be just a really, really good time. One of the best investments you can make is in your marriage. Amen? Amen. And then lastly, baptisms. If you are not baptized, can I tell you, you got to get baptized. You got to. If you have been baptized, you have to, okay? Sign up online. I know, I had to say it enough times. You got to and have to. February 13th, we're doing baptisms. So before that, you got to sign up. You can sign up online. You can sign up at the welcome desk. Touch your neighbor and say, are you baptized? Because you got to. You got to. Amen. Well, welcome with me, our senior pastor, Pastor Michael Spencer.
Amen. Woo! How many of you know it's a little bit chilly out this morning? When I left my house, it was -9. And I've heard out in the parking lot, people say, Pastor, you're crazy for being out here. And I want you to know, I agree with you. But I have a story I shared with some of you in the parking lot. It was, I was ready to talk myself out of being outdoors this morning. And the Holy Spirit said, last night, the Buffalo Bills Stadium was stacked with people cheering over a pig. Cheering over the skin of a pig. You can be out in the parking lot today. And you can be in the house today. Some of you stayed home this morning because you're chilly. Come on now. God's worth it no matter how cold. Now, I want you to know that this is today the opposite of hell. Both opposites are bad. Amen. So you're in the right place. We're going to worship Jesus. We're going to love God. We're going to grow today. We're going to challenge you today. Today's going to be a great day for the kingdom of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
Are you ready for God?
Amen.
Are you ready to give him all that you got?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Not a little bit, not halfway, not just what you feel like. Today you want to give all to Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, today is your day. Father, we've never had this day before. It's the first time we've ever seen it, and it will be the last time we ever see it. So today, God, we're not going to waste it. We're going to give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. We're going to serve you with every fiber of our being. We're going to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, when your word is given, we're going to receive it, grow with it, mature with it, God. Our faith will rise. And Lord, we're going to do great things for your kingdom this week. Lord, we thank you for the snow that's coming. Keep us all safe. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You're the joy no one can take away. You're the joy no one can take away. You're the peace inside I can't explain. You're the strength I need. You will always be. You're the joy no one can take away. You're the joy no one can take away. You're the peace inside. Strength I need, you will always be my strength. mind just take a couple minutes and just praise him out of your own mouth? Start reminding him of how great he is. Start reminding him of how worthy he is. If you have to tell your flesh this morning that you will praise God no matter what, go ahead and command your flesh, command your soul to glory in the Lord right now. His presence is here, and he desires to be lifted up this morning. Go ahead. Lord, you're worthy. Lord, you're worthy. You're so holy. We praise you this morning, Jesus. We praise you for every miracle. We praise you for every sign and wonder. We praise you for the miracles you haven't given us yet, Jesus. They're already ours, Lord. We praise you right now. We thank you for walking with us in this life, Jesus. We thank you for never leaving us or forsaking us, Lord. We thank you for being our comforter. We praise you for every victory you've won us. We praise you for being the best creator we've ever known, Lord. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, because you deserve it. You deserve it, Jesus. You deserve it. You deserve it, Jesus.
God is so good. Come on, church. God is so good. Come on, sing it to him. Sing it right to Jesus. God, you are so good. God, you're so good. Yes, you are. God, you're so good. We love you. God, you're so good. You're so good. Wer autobuschte hätte. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. That's right, you do. God answers prayer. I love you, Jesus. God answers prayer. You're so good to me. I love you so. Come on, sing it to him. Right to Jesus, right to Jesus, right to Jesus.
I love you so.
Ah, my God.
I love you so. You're so good to me. I love you so.
I love you
Jesus.
So.
It almost just sounds too easy, doesn't it? But you know, he loves you. He really does. He loves you. You know, there are times I've sat back in the middle of life and I've said, God, where are you? But then that song we sang, his mercies are new every morning. Show this. Every morning he knows what mercy you need. It might be different from yesterday's mercy. It's today's mercy. And in that, in his love, he gives you exactly what you need to get exactly through that day. He is so faithful. We sang that song too, didn't we? But I think you were prophesying this morning. God loves you. Sometimes, because of how we've been reared and raised, sometimes it's hard for us to receive that kind of love. This morning, I just want us to sing that one more time. And instead of, I'm going to let the worship team sing this. Instead of you singing, I just want you to lift your hands and I want you to say, Jesus, I receive your love this morning. And I want you to be in a receiving mode. Because a lot of times, you know, in worship, we're given, and that's good. That's what we're supposed to do. Sometimes you just need to receive. Amen. So slide your hand up to heaven and just receive. Just say it right out loud. Jesus, I receive.
God is so good.
Yes, you are. I receive Jesus.
God is so good. You're so good.
I love you so.
Me.
Worship team.
I love you so. I love you so. I love you so. You're
Hallelujah. Jesus, we receive this morning a fresh baptism of your love. God, each one knowing, and you know exactly what spot we're all in and where our hearts are, and Father, where our emotions are. God, there's one thing that covers everything, and that is your love. So God, we thank you for a fresh baptism of your love. Smear us with your love. And God, when we leave this place, we'll have that sweet-smelling savor of heaven on us. God, people will recognize we've been in the presence of Jesus. Not only, God, because we're smiling and we're free, but because, God, your presence goes with. Lord, wherever we are, you are. God, you are the answer that people are looking for. Draw them by that love, God, that we'll be able to share with them of the goodness of Jesus. In your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. You may be seated this morning. As you notice, we have foregone our meet and greet for a little bit. We've done that on purpose, just simply because we are giving people. Can you turn to somebody and say, I'm a giving person? We just don't want you to give coronavirus, so. Many people are asking about Pastor Rhonda. How's Pastor Rhonda? Pastor Rhonda is recovering. The Bible says when you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. I was very blessed this morning talking with her, and she said, I'm sick of this. Let's go. Now, you got to know what that means for her. She's a beast. So she's turned, and she's recovering, and we're going to have her back in the house really soon. Amen. I want you to know our belief is I thank God for recovery, but I'm not interested in recovery. I'm interested in miracle. Amen. So we're calling forth the miracle, not recovery. Recovery takes too long. I want a miracle. Amen. I don't know who's doing offering this morning. Ms. Minister McKenzie is doing offering.
Hello, everybody. Okay, so we're going to go over Malachi 3:10. And it says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. So I started thinking about this, and God really, he really revealed it to me, which is awesome. So I was sitting there and I was thinking, why, if your word is true, do people who don't tithe look more blessed than tithers sometimes? I had to ask the Lord questions. I like to ask him hard questions, and he answered me, which is really nice because I didn't know. So there are a ton of principles in the Word of God that you can follow if you're saved or if you're unsaved, if you tithe or if you don't tithe. There's principles about seeding. There are principles about how to save correctly. In Proverbs, it tells you how to not go into debt. So there's a ton of principles in the Bible about how to be a great steward. And that will lead you to be blessed because it's a principle. But the difference between having good principle in your life and tithing is that tithing is a covenant. And it doesn't matter how much you tithe. Of course, it's 10%, but the amount of it doesn't matter. It matters the percentage that you give. Tithe means 10%. We know this. Pastor Rhonda teaches it all the time. So the difference between following good principle and the good advice that the Bible gives versus having God's hand on it is that you have supernatural protection over your finances once you enter into that covenant. I don't think I'm the only person who has ever been like, where is all my money going? Where's all my money going? I thought I put it in this place. I thought I allocated it to this. But the word says that if you tithe, he rebukes the devourer for you. He's the one that has his hands on your finances for that supernatural protection. So the key to actually living a blessed life is to having that twofold, right? Because we can't tithe and then have bad principles in our finances. We can't tithe and then spend a bunch of money and be bad stewards, because that doesn't leave you blessed either. So something that people in the world have figured out is if they take the biblical principle and put it in their finances, that they will have money that they will accumulate. They might have a lot of money, but the difference is they don't have God's hand on their money. So what happens when the devourer comes? They end up getting devoured. So what I would encourage all of us to do is to start tithing, because I not only want to live with good financial and practical principles, I want God's hands on my finances. And I have a little bit of a testimony. It's super cool. So my husband, Jalen, signed up for these classes in 2020 because he wanted to start looking for like something else. He just likes to keep busy. So he signed up for these college classes, realized in his spirit that it wasn't the right way to go. And they sent him a bill, I think like 6 months ago, saying, hey, you still have to pay for these classes, even though he canceled them in the allotted time that you were allowed to cancel them online. So Jalen fought it, and they still sent him back. They gave him calls. They were like, nope, you still have to pay it. And he didn't even tell me that he, like, settled in his spirit. He was just like, you know what, God, I'm not going to worry about it. They told me I had to pay it anyway, but I have this security. And without him ever reaching back, like a week later, they just told him he didn't have to pay it. Colleges don't do that. I don't know if you guys have student loans or anything. They want their money. So that's just a very, very simple way that we saw God's hand on our life. Because we're tithers, we tithe very, very faithfully off of everything, off of gifts, off of extra income. We tithe extra. And because of that, even if a situation does come up where it looks like we might be in the hole for a second, we can just take our hands off of it and be like, God, your hand is on this right now. I know a lot of us have started our faith walls, and a lot of us have extra financial goals. And you can accumulate, you can follow God's principles, but if you're not the basic principle of tithing, then that doesn't guarantee God's financial blessing and his hand on your life. So if you want to start this year out right, I would highly suggest you start tithing and do it faithfully and track it. It says you can test him. You can track it weekly if you want to. You can put him to the test. He doesn't mind. He's a good God, and he's faithful, just like we sang about. So if you're ready to start that new journey of tithing, go ahead and stand up. We're going to say the supernatural declaration. Ready?
Yeah.
Wow, this sounds exciting. Okay. Say, if I obey,
if I obey,
I'm blessed going in.
I'm blessed going in.
I'm blessed going out.
I'm blessed, going
I'm blessed in my storehouse.
I'm blessed in my basket.
The blessings are going to chase me down. They're going to trip me up. Because I'm a child of God. Now shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Go ahead and bring up your tithes and offerings. If you are a giver online and you'd like to give, there should be instructions right on the screen for you. You can text 84321 and any dollar amount that you would like to give this morning. You can also go online at histabernacle.com to give your tithes and offering. Thank you so much for joining in with us.
Chase me down, trip me up. That's a good thing. Praise God. Excited. I'm so excited about today's word. Shout it out loud with me. I'm built different. I want to remind you that the words of your mouth are seed. So just by saying that, what you're doing is you're preparing yourself to do what? To have a different harvest. If you always plant the same seed, speak the same seed, you'll never have a different harvest. If a farmer goes out, all he does is plant corn, he cannot expect peas. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. You cannot plant peas and expect you're going to get watermelon. Amen. Whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. Before we get going, we have a testimony about groups. I love groups. Turn to someone and say, I love groups. Amen. Man of God, come. Do we have a microphone?
Thank you, sir. Good morning, everyone. For any of you that don't know me, I'm Stan Chris. And Ava, like they said, they're up here to share a little about small groups, and particularly small group men's breakfast at Curly's every Tuesday, 8:30. Seen a lot of you there. Like to see more of you. Talking about blessings, I had a little special blessing yesterday. The group leaders, team, the people that lead the leaders, they gave me a blessing of sending me a Pudgy's lunch for me and my wife yesterday. Thank you guys for that blessing. We really enjoyed it. I lead that breakfast group that meets Tuesday mornings, but I didn't start it. I was originally started by Al Kenny, who most of you probably know who Al is, several years ago. There were a couple of gentlemen that lost their wives, and there was people like myself who I hadn't, when we came to this church, I worked 2 weeks on out of town, and I was home for 2 weeks. And when you're like that, and if you just come to, when I come to church, you get to meet a few people in the morning, maybe talk a little bit with them, talk a little bit with somebody else after church, but you don't get to see them again for maybe a month. So you don't really build up too much of a relationship. Anyways, Al started this group for breakfast. We'd meet for breakfast. And what came out of that group is that it gave me an opportunity to get to know people, to get to know other men. And that's important. It gives you support, and it gave us love. Our breakfast time, just to tell you a little bit about it, it consists of a little meditation and usually some discussion after about that. But the other important part for us is a fellowship and getting to know each other on a deeper level. That was what Al wanted, what he was trying to accomplish. Christian men supporting brother Christians. Yeah. Having fun and getting to know each other. Yeah. And that's what we did. Yeah. The 17th century poet John Donne wrote, "No man is an island." And it's about an interconnectedness of God and man. From that statement, I take away that we're like pieces, but I'm just one piece. Y'all just one piece. But together, we're the church.
Amen. Amen.
We're the power of God. That's the breakfast group. Sharing fun, hard times. Sometimes words of encouragement for each other. Sometimes a little good advice from each other. Sometimes it's a phone call wondering why we missed and letting us know that we are missed. And sometimes it's, do you need something? Can we help? Can I help? We're there for each other, that men's group.
Yep.
We knit. We're knitted.
That's right.
I want to share one of those times that I really appreciated and it really affected me. My wife had a very serious operation a while back. And the group knew about it, but that was about it. Anyways, the day we went to the hospital, one of the men just showed up, and he sat with me through all the time that she was in the operating room. We shared, he prayed with me, and he stayed there until they called and told me that she was in recovery and everything had went well. That really touched me deeply. That's what you get. If you're available any Tuesday morning at 8:30, we'll be at Curly's having breakfast. Love to have you come. We understand a lot of men can't make it every week. But when you can, I guarantee we'll welcome you. We'll share our support and a sincere Christian love with you. It's a great place to meet other Christian men. Says in the Bible, there are over 140, one and another, that one and another means being together, one and another.
That's
right. Says that 140 times in the Bible, so kind of has a feeling of importance. That through that one and another, we learn to love. Through that one and another, we learn what it feels to be loved. So these small groups give us that opportunity. So please consider that. It's wonderful. It's a new year we're starting out on. It's a great time to become involved. And it's a great time to get to know somebody on a little deeper level. Amen. That can help you, lift you up,
right,
and that you can lift up. Y'all be blessed, and thank you for my time.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Shout, I'm built different. Now remember, if you are going to use the same material you've always used, you aren't built different. So there's a necessity to make sure that this year that you actually use different material. Now when you come to church, what's great about church, the Bible says that this is what God created. God created us to come together and fellowship and have relationship and worship together as a congregation. But if we all stay parallel in our chairs, then we'll never get in circles. If you never get in a circle, you'll never see somebody's face. You only see the back of their heads. And the problem is you can't build a relationship with the back of a head. You can try, especially if it's cousin it. But besides that, only the old people know what I just said. I heard only old people chuckle. Amen. And so it's so important that we recognize that God wants you to be built different this year, which means you're going to have to do something different this year. Well, you know, I don't know. Listen, if you don't ever do anything different, don't ever expect a different result. You see, God wants to build you into a skyscraper this year, but he cannot build you into a skyscraper unless you're going to change your foundation. Your foundation must be deep and wide. What is deep and wide? Knowing the love of God. And when you love God, you love people. I said, when you love God, you love people. I don't like people. Then you need to learn how to love God more. Amen. Because if you love God, you'll automatically, because of who you hang with, love people. You're going to want to be around them. You're going to want to encourage them. You're going to want to strengthen people. That is the very nature of your Father. You see, we have been built as a different family. We have a different father. We have different laws. We have a different lifestyle. We have a different power. We have a different purpose. Everything about you and I as believers is different from the people of the world. But it won't be different if you keep doing the same thing. Turn to somebody and say, you got to change. Tell somebody else, you got to build different. Our verse for the year is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. So then, you are no longer strangers or aliens, but you are fellow citizens. Turn to someone and say, I'm a citizen of heaven. The Bible says you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. This whole year about being built different is bringing us to a true epiphany that we live different because we're part of a different family. When we don't get that, then we just go to church. We got good religion, but we don't understand what God was up to. You see, we must know the mind of God. We must have a revelation. What is a revelation? That is an unveiling to where it makes sense to us. That God wants you to understand that he came to create a family and a household. He came to create something that is greater than just a religion or a denomination or a group of people sitting together kind of chanting the same thing. What it is God wants you to know him. God wants you to have a relationship with him. God is passionate for you. But you and I cannot be built different and understand the members of being a member of his household unless we're going to do different things. So knowing the mind of God is everything. Understanding how God thinks. You mean we can understand how God thinks? Absolutely. God said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends, so that you'll understand what God's mind is and what God wants to do. So the mind of God is releasing who and what he does. When someone shares their heart with you, they're sharing not just a philosophy, they're sharing the basis and foundation of who they are, why they do what they do, and why they do what they do. So one, understanding the mind of God and what we're talking about this year in being built different is necessary, or else you're always going to remain a visitor in a church and never part of a household. Got a lot of visitors. I got visitors in this church that have been here 15 years. It doesn't matter that you've been coming a lot of years. What matters is that you're a member of the household. Now, I didn't say we have membership. We don't have membership in this church for reasons. The main reason is because people put faith more of a membership of a church than they do in the membership of being in the household of faith. So we've got to get back to grasping what God was thinking. What's the mind of heaven when we're talking about God creating his church, and even beyond his church, in God creating man? Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it says this, And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. You know what's interesting to me is that God saw that aloneness was so bad that he again created. He didn't sit back and try to have a thought of what he could do. Maybe he could help an animal or do this or do that. No. God saw it was not good for man to be alone so much that he then created a woman. He created a partner. He created an individual that would be able to have a relationship tangibly, not just spiritually. I want to remind you that the kingdom of heaven is the invisible of heaven. But God said, I want to bring the invisible to the visible. And the only way to do that is to create earth and to create man in our image and in our likeness. So we are part of the kingdom of God. which is the invisible kingdom of heaven, but we are participating with the invisible in the natural while we walk on this earth, because we are part of the household of faith, and our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be his name. It's time to recognize that God's created things for a reason, and many times the church has lost their reason. They just don't want to go to hell. Now, I don't want to go to hell either. Remember, hell is just the holding tank. The final location is called the lake of fire. No one's interested in going to hell. No one's interested in losing their eternity. But why did God create? Why did God say it's not good for man to be alone? Because he was expressing even from his own heart. I want to remind you, up to this point, he had angels. And the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, Isaiah chapter 6, that the angels are around his throne and shouting, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." That is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, our linear time. But they're doing that in eternal time. But here we are, and God said, "Listen, I want someone who will have a relationship with me, for it's not good for man to be alone, but it's also in God's plan not good for him to be alone." If God didn't care about being alone, he would never have created man to build a relationship with the king. He would always have kept us aloof. He would always have kept us afar off. He would never have opened the opportunity of sending his son Jesus. And what did Jesus come to do? Not just wash our sins away, but he came that our relationship that Adam and Eve lost in the garden might be able to be restored, that we can walk in the cool of the day with him all over again. God loves relationship. God loves intimacy. God loves for you to know him. He's desiring, because God does not want to be alone either. So when we understand the mind of heaven, then we then have to mix it with our minds. "Let this mind be in you," the Bible says, "which is in Christ Jesus." You see, we have to allow God's mind to be stronger than our mind, bring into captivity every thought and imagination that would raise itself up against God. What's happened in the mind of man is that we have created our own Bibles. We have created our own philosophies. We've created our own religions. As we sit in church, yes, we love the Lord, but we want the Lord to fit into our criteria instead of us fitting into the mind of heaven. Say amen or oh my. So the mind of God is that he so desperately wanted relationship that he created. And even in the midst of the creation, what happened was, through the treason of Adam and Eve, he did not abandon his plan. He already planned Jesus. Can I hear an amen? The Bible says Jesus is the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the earth. God had a plan to make sure that family would not be destroyed for all of eternity, but that God himself would have people that would love him, worship him, have relationship with him all the way through the eternities and time. This is the great part of who we are. This is why we're built different, because we can have a relationship with the Creator. You don't have to be familiar with the Creator. You can know the Creator. You don't have to have a philosophical mindset that God is sitting up there marionetting us. But you can actually know him and talk with him, and God will talk to you. That was this morning. Got up. My house was -9. Does anybody know what -9 means? Cold. And I said to myself,
"No."
You can do better than that. I said to myself,
"No.
I think I should not be in the driveway today." And the Lord spoke to me. He said, They last night, the Buffalo Bills, they were packed out in the freezing cold. Dan Flatt actually lifted up his water bottle and it was frozen. And they will do that to, come on now, to shout on a team of men throwing around a ball made of pig. And he said, "You can make it to the driveway today, can't you?" I said, yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's not just you talking to God, but God wants to talk to you. It's not just you hearing from the Lord. Man, in this whole escapade we've been through, I've been able to hear from God. The Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to rest in the miracle. Well, that made no sense to me. And then I opened up Hebrews chapter 6, and it says, Abraham was patiently waiting and received the promise. Rest in your miracle. I want you to know when you get a rhema word from God, when God speaks to you, not just you speaking to God, it's a relationship, and God is after that relationship. That is his mind, that is his heart, that is his passion. That's why we're built different. We can actually talk to God, and God talks to us. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
He has this plan, this family plan. You know, when you get married, when I do premarital counseling, I sit down with a couple and I say, you know, how many children do you want? And they say, oh, we want three, two boys and a girl. And then I look at them and say, well, that's beautiful. But what happens if you get all three girls? Are you going to go for number four? I want a boy. Okay, what happens if all four are girls? Do you want, are you going to try again? And the girl says, no. It's called family planning. There's a plan that has to be put together, or you're going to get pregnant every year. I ask the couple, I say, what is your plan to not get pregnant? And I love the couples that say to me, well, we really don't have a plan, but we'll work it out. Oh, no, you're going to be pregnant. That's all I know, you're pregnant. Family planning is so powerful. And God did family planning. God has planned his family. God's desiring that relationship. The Bible says, even in the church, John chapter 13, verse 35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples or family. If you love one another. But you can't love one another if you don't know one another. And in today's church mindset, it's not knowing one another, it's fulfilling a religious obligation by coming to a building, singing a few songs, hearing the preacher shout a little bit, singing kumbaya on your way out, and you don't talk to nobody except your old friends who pass the beer and the weed. Say amen or oh my. I said, amen or oh my. You can't love people you don't know. And the enemy is so wise in his planning because he knows the mind of God. He knows that if people get together as one, that he's got himself a problem. He knows every time we come together and love one another and truly minister to one another and have a relationship with one another, that then he has a problem. Because a true family, listen now, they don't always agree. You don't always like your family. Say amen. You don't always like your siblings. You have a better attitude. My sister. You know what? I can pick on my sister all you want. I can do it anytime I want. I make fun of how old she is. I torment her as much as I desire. But don't you do it, because that's my sister. And in the mentality of the kingdom of God, listen now, you can pick on each other all you want. But when you really don't know each other, you don't care if somebody else does. And what's happened is we've slid into a mindset that is not the mind of God, where we come to church, we come to the building, we look at the back of heads of everybody, and then we walk out and we don't know anybody's name. Amen. That's not family. Amen. Oh, you're tough this morning.
Amen.
Listen, the cold should have woke you up, not put you to sleep. Today, right now in Canada, they're having church outdoors at under 32 degrees. You need to shout louder than that. You're in a heated room with a nice padded chair. God created a body. He created us as one. We might not know everybody in the same depth, But when you don't know anybody, you know you have a problem. Whoop, that got really quiet, didn't it? God never created isolation. Individualistic mentality. He never created aloneness. And that was the diabolical Luciferian plot that he had when everybody was having to put a mask on at every moment of every day, to where you couldn't see anybody's face, you couldn't see their smile, you couldn't see their expressions, and then you had to stay home. Isolation. That is the opposite of the plan of God. Because you are always staying away from everybody. That is not heaven. Heaven is that we know each other. I'm not talking like you got to know everybody, but you got to know somebody. Because everybody's somebody to Jesus. And everybody's got something that you need. Can I hear an amen? And everybody in the family's got a job. Can I hear an amen? You see, as the body, we've been built to where we're not the same. That right there is the great benefit. God never called us to be clones. Our diversity is our strength. But your diversity will never be used if you live a spiritual life of isolation. Woo! That spiritual life of isolation looks like this. You come to church. You have your reasons if you don't come to church. I've heard reasons, baby. I'm afraid of COVID. Really? I saw you at Lowe's. And you didn't have a mask on. Well, you know, you could catch it at church. Oh, I got good news for you. In this whole COVID expression, we have never had an outbreak in this house. Not one. Church of over, listen now, we minister to about 1,300 people every single week. We've not had one outbreak. Everybody's pretty much had it. But we've never broken it out of here. So don't use the excuse. In fact, we got a little red section in the back if you got yourself an issue. But you see, that's the issue. That's not the issue. The issue is not that you're afraid of people and getting given COVID. The issue is that the enemy's working to isolate you so that your giftings will never be seen within the body, and then we have a paralyzed section of the body that does not work, and it hinders how God wants to flow. Amen. Say amen. Amen. If your leg doesn't work, you can still get around, but you're going to wear out a lot of good cowboy boots. I want you to know that your body, every portion of it is so important. While I'm out there this morning, I was relatively warm. I had on my Filson wool this morning, and I was ready. I had on my nice beaver hat, glory to Jesus. I had my gloves, and I had, you know, those hot hand things stuffed down the back of my gloves. But my pinkies got cold. That's not a big part. But my pinkies got cold. You know what I remember? My pinkies got cold. Why? Because one body part affects another body part. If you cut that body part off, it doesn't mean you don't have feelings there anymore, because they call them phantom pains. We got folks, man, that you come to church and really that's all you do. You look at people's back of the head, you bug your way out. That's not the mind of God. And God wants to shift you this year to build you different this year. God can't build you different, first of all, if you don't know the mind of God, and second, if you don't obey the mind of God. Amen. Boy, it does get quiet in the house. Glory to Jesus. In the mind of God, he has built a family. Have you ever seen a family disintegrate from the inside out? The worst one I've ever seen was I did a funeral in Pennsylvania. And the woman had won the Pennsylvania State Lottery. So here she is. It's an open casket. She's laying open casket. And her two sons are literally fist fighting. I'm talking fist fighting over her dead body of who was going to get the money. Had to call the cops. I mean, one of them got clocked in the face really well. You know they're not hanging around at Christmas this year. What was designed to be strength was destroyed by division. What is division? D-I, vision. What is division? Dual vision instead of singular vision. And the singular vision is God's vision. That's how God wants to create not only the eternal family, but the natural family, so that we are not all messed up and all fragmented. You see, like I said, I can make fun of my sister all I want to do. She can even get mad at me. I had one, the last guy, he got mad at me because I made fun of her. But I didn't care. But why? Because she's my sister, and we grew up together, and I have the right. Same mother, same father, and I'll make fun of all I want. But don't you make fun of my sister. Because we have vision in the house. Every house has a vision. When the parents are messed up, then the vision gets very confused. But in the house of God, it's very clear. God has written the vision, so that we understand the mind of heaven. We understand the direction of God. And he warns us clearly about division. Romans chapter 16, 17, and 18, it says this. I appeal to you. That means, come on now, pay attention. Brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. For they such people do not serve the Lord our God, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. People have been mad at me in the past when somebody's gone off and done something really stupid and tried to cause damage to this family. As the spiritual head of the house, as God has placed me here as the spiritual father of the home, and we'll get into explaining what that means this year, that when somebody comes in, a child of the house comes in and tries to divide the body of Christ, I take a very aggressive posture. I do not pacify or placate. I get angry. Why? Because you can touch me all you want, but don't kill the babies, because division always kills the babies. Division always brings confusion, and God has never once been the author of confusion. God says, mark those people who cause division. Don't hang out with them. They shouldn't be your friend on Facebook. Well, I feel sorry for them. I do too. They're going to hell. Bible says it right there. I didn't say, I'm sorry. Don't want me to offend you. But I didn't say they were going to hell. The Bible says that such people do not serve the Lord our God. You can't be a divisive individual and think that you're serving God. You're deceiving yourself. I've addressed some people. I remember one time I had a staff member that left, and she caused me lots of problems. Like lots of problems. She actually destroyed, in the end, she's destroyed two families. Destroyed them. They are no longer serving God the way they're supposed to and not fulfilling God's purpose in their life. So when that individual left, I marked them. Mark those, the Bible said, who caused division. I marked them. No. Had another staff member come in, and they started befriending them. And I brought them in, and I said, no, listen now. If you're going to be on staff at this house, you're not going to be friends with them. I'm not saying you hate them. I'm not saying you don't pray for them. But the Bible says, avoid them and don't hang out with them, because they have a spirit that's not like the mind of God. And she bobbed her head at me and said, you won't tell me who I can be friends with. And I says, that's right. But I'm not paying anybody $40,000 a year to come in here and cause division and be part of it. You're fired. Why? Because I refuse to ever allow division to come into a house. Why? Because division has always been rooted in the devil. And the devil loves to cause division, because if the division is there, then the vision will never be obtained. And people will be wounded. Well, you don't mind me speaking frank, do you? Yeah, God said avoid them. What's avoid mean? Another part of the scripture says treat them as an unbeliever. Oh, Jesus addressed it, Mark chapter 3, 24 through 26. And he called them to him and said to them in a parable, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. The plan of heaven, the mind of God, is the mind of unity. A household that is in unity is a household that will always be filled with joy. You ever walked into somebody's house and no one needed to say anything, but you could feel the tension in the air? You immediately said, how do I get out of here? Why? Because you can feel it. You can feel when something's out of place. You can feel when things are not in order. You can feel it. How can you feel it? Because the vision is a spirit. And so when you walk into someone's house that should be filled with peace but is filled with contrary, you immediately know there is division in the home and the enemy is at work. Well, I just want to bring a revelation to you. Every single time you see division, you always know Satan is on the job. You only see God adding and multiplying in the Word of God. You never see him subtracting or dividing. So when you see dividing, come on now, or subtraction, you always know the devil is on mark. God said in Psalms 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. It is like the oil, that anointing oil that flows down over the head of Aaron, down over his beard, down over his garment. And it is there that God commands the blessing. Where there's unity, there will be blessing. Where there's unity, there will be peace. But where there's division, there will always be contention. And whenever you see contention, the scripture says, you know there is always a foul spirit involved. That is good teaching. You're going to be built different this year. Can I hear an amen? So God's plan, God's mind, is to create a family or groups of people. Adam and Eve, at that point, was the largest group there was. Really, if you look at that group, it was Adam, Eve, and the Father. When division came in, it eliminated the Father. Division eliminates the unity. And so here, now we go to the next one, the 12 tribes of Israel. If you study the 12 tribes of Israel, they were groups of people. They were the 12 tribes, and when they camped around the presence of the Lord. How about the 12 disciples? How about the 70? We don't know their names, but it wasn't just the 12 disciples. He then had a group of 70 others that he sent out in Matthew chapter 10. How about the apostles in the upper room? Now listen, we got to get a grip on this one. They did not have deodorant in those days. It was hot in those days. There were not a lot of windows in that room. When you do a study on what the upper room looked like, there was a door. No air conditioning. Men wearing dresses. I don't know if they had underoos on or not, but all I know is a lot of stinky people. 120. Now, there was men up and women up there, too. 120 people in one room for 10 days. You either acclimated quickly or you passed out. I was around someone just the other day. I walked into a restaurant. They were there at the restaurant. I hadn't seen them in a long time. Went up, shook their hand. And immediately, the pungent aroma of the lack of water and soap penetrated my nostrils. My senses were immediately piqued as I said to myself, "Dear Jesus, should I say something or not say something?" So I said nothing, but my conversation was short. So here we have 120 people in an upper room as a group, and who showed up? The Holy Ghost showed up. I want you to know that every time you get together with unity, every time you get together with one heart and with one mind, every time you get together as a family, every time you get together with the mind of God, God is going to show up. And when God shows up, he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh as he promised in the last days. It's time to recognize that God has a plan, and it's time for the church to get back to the plan of God, not God get to our plans. Amen or oh my. You know, I look at my wife and I look at Uncle Chad. Does anybody know Uncle Chad? Chad Mays in the back, stand up, wave at everybody. Stand right up there. Stand up. Stand up. He's single. Single. He's single. I watch as my wife and her brother interact. You'll always hear my wife say, he's the best brother in the world. And you'll always hear Uncle Chad say, she's the best sister in the world. Now, listen, there's four of them. But what's interesting when you start studying unity, unity has nothing to do with whether you like people or not. Because most people did not like Peter. You ever been around somebody like Peter? Pushy, mouthy, always had his opinion. You ever been around anybody like that? You didn't ask for their opinion, but they're going to share their opinion when you do. Oh, yeah, I can prove it. I can prove it. Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Man has not revealed this to you, Peter, but the Father in heaven has." Well, the next chapter, Jesus is talking about dying on the cross. And what does Peter say? "I'll never let him get you, Jesus. I'll die first and I'll fight." Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Always had an opinion. You been around anybody like that before? You can't get five words in, they're going to give you the opinion. And you weren't even talking the way they were talking. How many of you have a sibling like that? Don't raise your hand. Now, if you have more than one sibling, what you find is you end up getting along better with one or another. Usually not all of them get along exactly the same. There's different levels of relationships. And so I look at my brother-in-law and my wife. They are close out of the four. The sister, we don't hear much from. And the other brother, we hear nothing from. So out of the four, the only two that are actually close are my wife and her brother. They are best friends. And I like that because I don't like doing manual labor. And he comes to my house because his sister asks and does it for me. I thank you, Jesus. But that's relationship. And what that means for the house of God is simple. You're not going to like everybody in the room. Yeah, you're not going to like everybody. But Jesus never asked you to like everybody. He told you to love everybody. Amen. We're not all going to get along. Not everybody's personalities are going to mesh. Some people are going to grate you. So sometimes you need those people in your life. Iron sharpens iron. Can I hear an amen? Sometimes you need a little fixing, and you need that person to grate you the wrong way. Somebody once said to me, I said, "Dude, you're causing me a lot of issues." And he looked at me and goes, "But does it hurt?" And I said, "Yes." And he goes, "See, I'm doing my job." I said, "You got the wrong job, buddy." But the powerful part about being a family is that we're not always going to agree. We're not always going to like each other. We're sometimes going to fight. We're going to hurt each other's feelings. We can do that to each other, but don't let somebody else do it to us. Amen. But in today's church world, that's not the way it works. Because when you look at someone's back of the head, you'll never back them up. Because you can only see the back of their head, you'll never see the white of their eyes. I come to a conclusion through this whole escapade, there are two different types of doctors. One group I call medical strategists who have a chemical drive, pharmaceutical movement. They walk into a patient's room. They've studied their chart. They tell them what their problems are. They never touch them. They never communicate to them on a personal level. And then they dictate a script. What they don't realize is, as a medical strategist, soon they'll be replaced by artificial intelligence. And then there are physicians that when they walk into a room, they walk over to the patient and they touch their skin. When you touch someone's skin, you're creating a relationship. Then they care about you by talking to you, by looking in the eyes. And yes, they are strategists. Yes, they might use pharmaceuticals. But they care more about your spirit, soul, and body than just the strategy. And in church, it's the same thing. We have a bunch of people that come to church. They're religious strategists. They come in. They never touch skin. They never look in somebody's eyes. They never humanize. They just strategize their eternity. Ooh. When we recognize the plan in the mind of God, it has never been by distance. As many people that didn't like Peter, they still had to eat with him in the upper room. And when the church has forgotten what we're actually called to be, then individually we are weak. But as family, we are strong. But if you never break the parallels and get into circles, you never touch skin or look in somebody else's eyes. Therefore, the individualistic mindset or the dehumanization of another individual disavows you to help when it comes time for them to invest in you. Ooh. So as believers, there has to be a transition. There has to be a transformation. There has to be a shift. We have to be built different than just going to a concert. We've got to be built different than going to watch Kenny G at the Clemens Center. We've got to be people that actually care about people, because that's the heart of God, that we actually know some folks. Can I hear an amen? And because of that, we have created what's called groups in this church. What are groups? Because you know what? I've learned this. The church goes through cycles. They were through a cycle about 5 years ago. It was called the Sunday Experience. So you create a phenomenal Sunday experience. So people come in and they're wowed by the worship. They're wowed by the lights. They're wowed by the facility. Not that you wow here, but I mean, they wow. Because if you can wow them, then they stay. No, it's not true. They only stay until they don't like what you say. But as a family, they remain because of the vision that's in their heart and the connections they have made in relationships. Yeah, that's good preaching. And until we get back to the mind of God, then the enemy has neutered the church. When you emasculate the church, you emasculate heaven. Because God's plan is to reveal heaven via the church. So in the emasculation process, through the elimination of personal relationship and touch, you now have made the church of no effect but to be a religious organization in the middle of a field that really nobody cares about. But when you become a family, when you become the family and the unity of heaven, when you become the mind of God, then as one, no matter where we are, we're thinking as one, we're moving as one. We are compelled to do the Father's will. Jesus said it, I only come to do the Father's will. When we learn the family of God, when we learn the mind of our Father who art in heaven, when we understand what his compulsions are, when we understand what his passions are, when we understand where his compassion lies, when we understand the power that is released, when we understand what God's design is, that as one we move, and when we move, the spirit world has to move away, because greater is he that is in us, and one shall put 1,000 to flight, and 2 shall put 10,000. And when the unity has always come together, you will always find the power of God being released. So being an individual don't work. Especially if problems come to your footstool. You need other people. Well, Pastor, I've been hurt in churches before. And you're going to get in hurt churches again. I mean, you're a fool if you actually think that you're not going to get hurt in church. I can tell you why. Because there are people here. People messed up as bad as you are. Say amen. Because you're screwed up, you hurt somebody. And because they're screwed up, they hurt somebody. And then you hurt each other and you get mad and you walk away from God. That's stupid. Pastor, I don't really have time to get to know anybody. You don't have time not to get to know everybody. If you don't have time, come on now, to be in relationship with believers, then your time is mismanaged. Because you have time for whatever you actually think is important. It's called a core value, where you put your time and your money is what you actually believe in. So if you don't got time for God's house, you don't got time for God's kingdom, you don't got time for God's people, you don't have time to come together and build relationships, you don't have time to join a group, then really what you're saying is, it's not that I don't have time, I don't find it a priority in my life, so therefore it is not important enough for me to make action towards it. You can't build different if you don't change the action and the movement of the hammer. I'm almost done. 20 more minutes, we'll be out of here. I love you guys. It concerns me, and I know it concerns God. As the philosophy of religion has penetrated and permeated and saturated the fabric of the house of heaven, I think it's time to get into the washing machine. Can I hear an amen? It's time to get dried, come on now, get dried up of all the bad thinking. And it's time to get the ironing board out, come on now. Get a little starch in your britches. Some of you got friends you need to abandon. How can I prove it? Because you really do have a heart after God, but every time you're around them, they draw you into sin. Those are the friends that you don't need. You need to get rid of those friends. Well, I'm trying to get them saved. That's not true. They're trying to get you saved. If you're not influencing them more than they're influencing you, they're the wrong friends to have in your group. Come on now. And everybody's looking for it. We got a moose club, an elk club. We got a Masons Club, VFW Club. We got the Sabarines Club. We've got motorcycle clubs. We got gym clubs. We got clubs of the clubs. Somebody needs a club. Well, I just got a group of friends we hang out with. Club. Well, you know, churches, they're just full of cliques. Stupid. Of course they're full of cliques. because there are people that like each other differently than they like you. And they ever will have a relationship with you. That's not a clique. That's actually a group. Well, I just don't feel welcome. Then find a spot that you do. I mean, there's 1,300 people in this church. There's got to be somebody that will like you, even if you're Peter. So today, what I want to know, I want to let you know is, listen now, if you're going to be built different, you got to do different, which means you're going to have to prioritize your time. Oh, yeah, you're tough. Here we go. You got to prioritize your time and join a group. They're tough this morning. I said, you got to join a group. I said, you got to join a group. I said, you got to join a group. Shout it out loud, I'm built different. I'm going to join a group. Are you trying to, what do they call that? Are you trying to brainwash me? Yes. You need your mind washed with the Word of God. You need to be brainwashed to think like God, to move like Christ, and so that we can be a body that makes a difference. Amen? Turn to someone and say, I've been brainwashed this morning. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. Jesus, thank you for paying the price that we can have a relationship with the Father. And they shall know us by our love. Jesus, you are love, and you said this, that without love, everything is like a clanging cymbal, means nothing. Lord, I pray that we will love more than just ourselves. God, I know that that is what you prophesied in the last days. That in the last days, men shall be lovers of self. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will regenerate us. That you will fix us, realign us, just fix us, Jesus. To not think like the world, to be separatists, but to think like heaven and be unified. God, you're coming soon. I mean, the signs of the time are more real than ever. And we ask in the name of Jesus that we will stop looking at the back of heads and start looking in the whites of eyes and touching skin. We ask this in Christ's name. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm not sure if some of you have heard this or not, but China is getting ready to reveal that the next Olympics, that they have a cashless system now. They're taking their money and they're going to throw away the paper. And all the money exchange will be off of your phones. They then, that way, are going to be able to trace every dollar, track every person. It's all setting up for the mark of the beast. And then any company that has a facility in China is going to have to work with their money system, which means they'll then be able to track the United States company's monies. Oh, this is not, you can look it up online. It's not fake news. It's real stuff. They're revealing it at the Olympics. They're already testing it, but revealing it at the Olympics. If you're not right with Jesus, you're crazy. Why? Because Jesus is coming, and it can be today. This is the day of salvation. Right now is the time. Today, if you do not know Jesus, or maybe you're watching online right now, you don't know Jesus, I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm asking you to join the house of God, the household of faith. Not this building. This building is a building, and if it burned down tomorrow, we rebuild. This is not the church. We're the church. But if you don't know Christ, your sins are not washed away. You're not part of the family of God, which means you cannot go to heaven, for without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, and Jesus paid it all so that you and I could go. But not just go to heaven. He built it so that we could have relationships that will strengthen us, not deplete us. Today, if you do not know Jesus and you want him to be Lord of your life, I'd like you to slide your hand up this morning. I'm not going to wait real long. Is there anyone? Thank you, ma'am. Is there anyone else that would like to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Come on, believers, you know what that means to me. That means you're not doing your job. You're not bringing sinners to the house of God. Remember, the person you hate the most is the one you will not share Jesus with. Let that sink. Well, I don't want to offend my mother, my brother, my sister. That's right. What are you going to offend them? To hell number one, hell number two, or to hell number three? At some point in time, you're going to have to get bold enough to share the gospel if you really love them. For if you actually believe what the Bible teaches, if they do not confess Jesus and they die, they do not go to heaven. Not all dogs go to heaven. I'm going to ask one more time. Does anybody here need to get right with God? Five, get your hand up. Four, three, come on, get your hand up. Two, last call. And one. Let's all stand to our feet. Right outside, actually right in the back of the sanctuary is a bunch of tables with groups at it. There's a lot more groups than that. If you ride motorcycle or you like to fish or you like to do this or like to do, those are groups. You like worship, they're a group. You like helping with kids, that's a group. There are groups everywhere. We've got 40 groups in this church. Women's group, they meet every Thursday night. Men's group, we meet every Wednesday night. We have folks that struggle with addictions. They meet every Thursday night at 6. There's every kind of group you could imagine. And I challenge you to be part of, stop looking at the back of heads and get involved in people's lives, because you're part of the body and they need you. Father, I release blessing in the house in the name of Jesus. I declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I declare, God, that in Jesus' name, not one will be lost. Not one will walk away. This is the covenant now. I declare, according to the covenant, the blood and the body, that there is no sickness, there is no disease, there is no maiming, there is no wounding, there are no growths, there are no spirits of infirmity, and I arrest pain in the name of Jesus. I declare that we will prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospers, that our emotions, our intellect, and our will be healed and restored, renewed and revitalized by the presence of God, and that God will prosper so much in our money that the world will have to look less like they did at Israel and say, how are they so rich? I declare, God, that money will chase us down as we are tithers, that Father, people will come give us money that we never even thought of, that new jobs are going to be created, raises will be brought in, promotions will be had, and new companies will be started for the glory of God. I speak blessing to families in this room in the name of Jesus. No weapon formed against them. I pray, God, that every family that is in contention, that the Holy Spirit will reveal the demon that is actively involved to destroy their family. That they'll bind that devil and cast it out. In Jesus' name, we give you all the praise and the glory. And we all said, who love the Lord? Amen. Have an awesome week. Serve Jesus with all of your heart. Make sure you join a group before you leave the room.